Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And this week, we might be bringing you the shortest NPL show that we've ever done, or certainly that we've done in the past 7 years or so, because there wasn't that much football last weekend, unfortunately. We have got a couple of interviews coming up. Later, we're going to be joined by football reporter from the northeast of England, Mark Rovers. He'll be joining us with a full fixture preview for some of this weekend's big games. We're also going to be joined by the brand new Hyde United manager, Nick Spooner. He'll be joining us shortly. But to look back now at a weekend filled with postponements as well as a handful of results, we should be joined now by the welcome return of social media officer from the Northern Premier League. It's a big welcome back to James Hayes. Hello, Tigo. How are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing? I know how Andrew Snaith feels now.
Well, I think Andrew Snaith did a pretty good job last week. It's just a shame that some of the matches didn't happen. But if they hadn't happened, blimey. But the results we did have, they have been pretty important, actually. And we'll come back to that in a second. But we should say, going away from on-the-pitch matters, obviously, there was a lot of rainfall, a lot of postponements. However, for a handful of clubs, it was pretty serious stuff last week. And just sending our best wishes, James.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the photos at the moment of particularly Belp Town, Tadcaster. I mean, obviously, we are trying to get in contact with clubs. We still don't know the full scale of every situation. We're trying to help them as much as we can at the moment. But yeah, we are in contact with all the clubs to see what's going on and if need more significant help. Obviously, get in contact with us. That's going to secretaries as well who might listen to this. Get in contact and we can see what we can do to help you out.
Well, when we've got more news, we'll get those clubs on the show, that's for sure. But let's go to on-the-pitch matters now. And there were three results last weekend in the Pitching In NPL Premier Division. There was a midweek result as well. And as I touched upon earlier, it was a pretty important weekend, considering just how little football was actually played. Firstly, Buxton went from third position up to top spot on Saturday afternoon with a 1-0 victory over Gainsborough Trinity. Jason Gilchrist there scoring on the half-hour mark. That was enough for Buxton and saw the Derbyshire club go top spot on Saturday. However, South Shields on Tuesday, they beat Matlock Town by 3-1. An important result, that one, because that saw South Shields go from third to top spot, and they haven't been top spot in ages, have they, James? So that was a pretty important week just gone for both Buxton and South Shields, I'm going to suggest.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the conditions for the Gainsborough Trinity game as well. All down to volunteers from both clubs to get that game on. Congratulations for getting that game on. So it was tough conditions as it was anyway. But a vital 3 points there for Buxton. And it was their game in hand, in theory, there as well. They hadn't been top since Christmas after going on that massive poor run of form, getting back into it. And again, what I've been saying the last couple of weeks, Gilchrist gets scoring, they're going to be a big threat. Coming on to South Shields, and as you mentioned before, yeah, it's the first time they've been top now since the 28th of September. Matlock, it's all in their hands still a little bit, because now they've played South Shields, they've still got to play the majority of the top five, top six still, including one massive game this coming Saturday. They've got the game in hand on Buxton still. So Matlock aren't down and out. The destiny still is Matlock's hands with who they've got to play in the next couple of weeks. But South Shields and Buxton, they can now put the pressure on them. I'm going to put Scarborough into there as well.
Yeah, well, ultimately, there's not much separating the top four, is there? 4 points the gap between South Shields and fourth place. But we will return to Scarborough shortly, because they had an important game last Saturday as well. But South Shields, 60 points. Buxton, 59 points. Matlock, 58 points. Buxton have played a game more than both South Shields and Matlock, but it's shaping up quite nice, isn't it? But an important 3 points on Tuesday night at Mariners Park for South Shields. Let's have some post-match reaction now from that 3-1 victory over Matlock Town. Here's first team coach Wes Brown speaking to South Shields' YouTube channel shortly after the final whistle on Tuesday.
So it was a big night now with the important 3 points here. What are your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I thought a really dominant performance from start to finish. Like, one lapse in concentration, that was a bit of communications. Let them in. Yeah, they were clinical enough. We knew everything they were going to throw out with. I thought we dealt with them really, really well. Yes, at times we could be a little bit more patient and around the box, a bit more clinical, but that performance has been coming from the lads for a while. I thought it was from start to finish, the lads, every single one were excellent.
Obviously, it was a test when they scored the goal to pull a goal back, as they probably didn't deserve to concede at that stage of the game. How pleased were you with the way the lads responded to that?
Yeah, the response was excellent. It was calmer than it has been. You know, we've been nudging towards the lads. We've had, I mean, in the past few games, we've had lots and lots of possession, especially the last game. We've dominated and we've had lots and lots of box entries, and then got a little bit nervous in and around, not being calm enough with our delivery. But today, I think we showed the growing together as a side, and I think it's shown the confidence that we've seen in there since I've been with them.
It was a massive game, go top of the league, but nothing's won or lost at this stage of the season. But how significant is it to go back to the top of the league at this stage?
Yeah, it's a great, you know, like we said in there, like, that's, we've set the standard now. That's the standard of our performance. We take it game by game, like always. We prepare for the next lot. The lads will be as professional as they ever are, and we'll go again Saturday.
Massive crowd tonight, biggest one of the season, more than 2,600. How much of a difference did they make?
Oh, the class of fans tonight, I love when they get behind it. And there's moments in the game when you need that, when they do have a little bit of momentum shift where the crowd really get behind. It's great to see them singing their hearts out tonight.
Obviously, Kevin suffered a bereavement today. Obviously, really unfortunate that he wasn't able to make it to the game, but very understandable. I guess that made the team talk really easy before the game.
Yeah, I mean, there's two. I mean, Mickey Taylor as well, and then a close friend of Kevin's, who we've all knew. Who, you know, it is one for both of them tonight, and a real special night to put that performance on for them.
Obviously, moving on to Saturday's game, we've got Nantwich at home on Saturday. It's really important, is it, to follow this up with another win?
Yeah, it's another conversation the lads have just had. You know, they know themselves that this win's only good if we then go again Saturday and on another big performance to try and get us, you know, put a good run together.
First team coach at South Shields, Wes Brown there, speaking to South Shields' YouTube channel after that 3-1 victory over Matlock Town on Tuesday night. And a link to South Shields' YouTube channel is available in the description to this podcast. And I'll be honest, James, saying South Shields' YouTube channel is very, very tricky to say. But yeah, the link to South Shields' YouTube channel is available in the description to this podcast. But you mentioned Scarborough earlier, James, and a 2-2 draw between FC United and Scarborough last weekend at the Flamingo Land Stadium in a game which was really a great advert for 3G pitches, in all honesty. But great game of football, it really was. I mean, we'll come back to FC United shortly, but, you know, they've got an important game with Matlock. Because of the number of games played, FC United have more than everyone else, it's not a must-win game against Matlock, but it's an important game, isn't it, for FC United? And that's only the case now because of that 2-2 draw. That was an important point, that one, for FC United. For Scarborough, it sees them open up a 4-point gap between themselves and fifth-place Warrington, and maintains that 6-point gap between themselves and FC United outside the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Portland FC United, it's been a rough week for them now. Again, when we mentioned last week, the Warrington result, it's a good point to get off a form team at this moment. Three excellent goals and a penalty. So I think Scarborough, again, not out of contention for the moment, especially the fact they've still got to play Matlock again, so it puts them back into contention. Is it too early to start talking about run-ins now? Or
it is still is too early. I think mid to late March, I think, is when you start talking about the run-ins and permutations. When you get to about 6 to 7 games left, because we won't know where everyone is until we're at an equilibrium. Well, that's a posh word. I mean, Scarborough and FC, they've still got 9 games left, haven't they? So that's a bit too early, yet, I'm going to suggest.
Fair enough.
Final result from last weekend, Morpeth Town 2, Hyde United 2. Tom Pratt there scoring an equaliser for Hyde United in the dying embers of that game. A big result for Hyde United. Going up to Morpeth and getting a point is tremendous. We'll be hearing from the new manager at Hyde United, Nick Spooner, in a second. But what do you make of that result there for Hyde? And secondly, Morpeth Town, they're 8 points from the playoffs. They do have 2 games in hand over Warrington. But I suppose it's a bit gut-wrenching, though, isn't it, to concede an equaliser like that so late in the day?
It is indeed. And again, the way that Hyde got the equaliser at the end as well, perfect little goal to salvage a point, and something that Hyde do need at this moment. Any point like that against a team on form and pushing for the playoffs is vital for them bottom 6, bottom 7 at the moment. Hyde are doing a job there. As for Morpeth, they've got a massive doubleheader coming in the next 2 weeks. If they get 2 wins out of that, as you said a minute ago, they're back in the playoff race.
And you talk about the Warrington game. I mean, we mentioned how important the Matlock game is to FC. This one for Morpeth, these next 2 games against Warrington, home and away. Blimey. Yeah, Really, really important. Well, that's all the results, James. Thanks for joining us. I think we stretched it out as long as we could. Right, let's talk about Hyde United. Hyde United have obviously appointed a brand new manager this past week. Nick Spooner has taken over the hot seat at Ewan Fields, and I caught up with Nick this week to find out how he's settling in. Well, Nick, a big thank you for joining us, and congratulations on your appointment, and congratulations for the winning start as well. A good result in the Manchester Premier Cup on Tuesday night against Trafford. How are you settling into your new role?
Really settling in well. You know, the club's very welcoming. The players are very welcoming. And obviously, the great result on Tuesday evening, you know, to get on off onto a winning start, puts in a good position.
I'm assuming you've seen some matches before taking up the role as well. But did you see anything on Tuesday night which makes you go, oh, that's something new I've not learnt already?
Well, we just experimented because, like you said, I've seen the squad and I thought it was a good opportunity to see other members of the squad. So, you know, a few of them who came in did very, very well. But the boys who have previously seen, you know, so at least we've got competition for places.
And, you know, your knowledge of the club, you've obviously played for Hyde United before. I mean, what was it about this role where you went, right, I'm gonna apply for that job?
I just seen it, obviously, when Jim first got the job, I applied early on, and the club came back to me. You know, it's a good club, it's got great facilities, it's got a good fan base, and it's got some very, very good players. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity.
And with regards to those facilities, I mean, we've seen this past weekend already, you know, why having a 3G pitch might be the way to go. But, you know, with the community link up the club's got and the facilities, I mean, it is quite a club, isn't it, to be a part of?
Yeah, it's something I've discussed a lot. I think now, you know, the non-league scene, it's the way forward with this, you know, the 3G. Like you say, the community can use it. We've got a base, we've got a home, you know, for training. So it can attract the players. We know we can train whenever, you know, every Tuesday, Thursday. And more than likely, we're guaranteed, so we can make plans that our fixtures will go ahead.
So let's talk about the upcoming fixtures, because I'm imagining you're under no illusions about the challenge ahead. It's getting awfully competitive, isn't it, as we get towards the final weeks and months of the season. I mean, what's your thoughts on where Hyde United find themselves at the minute? Because it is a good squad you've got as well, we have to say.
Yeah, it seems strange, you know. Obviously, they started the season okay, and then obviously, our change of management, Jim came in and they got some good results. And then I think it's just a lack of confidence in the players. You know, like anything, into you're getting beat. It unfortunately becomes a habit. But yeah, the challenge ahead, the league is absolutely crazy this season. It's strange from top to bottom into anybody taking 3 points. You know, you look at the results and you think, well, where's that come from? So it is getting really, really competitive. But hopefully we're up for the challenge.
And like you touched upon there, I mean, the competitive nature of the league, I look at the teams down there and sometimes I speak to the managers and I think in the back of my mind, why are you down there? Because someone has to be. That's the thing, isn't it? And what plans have you got in place for the immediate? Or do you not feel you need to do anything that drastic at this point?
We have to tighten up at the back. You know, if you look at the record, we're scoring goals. The other night, we've gone and scored 2 goals, and I've looked at the stats and we're up there with the highest scorers in the league. It's just we're conceding so many goals, so we've really got to tighten up at the back.
And all that being said, you're playing Basford this weekend, and I've already mentioned it, because you've got a 3G pitch. I'm quietly confident, even though I'm going to say it out loud on the show, that this match will be on this weekend. It's an important game, isn't it? Because you could just go 1 point behind Basford, and that would relieve a lot of pressure, wouldn't it?
Yes. At the moment, like you say, we're on a 3-match unbeaten run. You know, Martin did very well when he came in. And if the boys can keep the confidence, I think they realise, you know, if you look at the table, we can bring a lot more people into this fight. You know, just that one win brings everyone a lot closer.
And you mentioned, you know, the previous results, and there's certainly a springboard there, isn't there? Especially after that 2-2 draw with Morpeth on Saturday, and, you know, Tom Pratt scoring so late in the day. I mean, when you've got players like Tom Pratt there, and like Liam Tong, for example, it's handy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very handy. You've got proven lads in this league, you know, who know what the league's all about, and we just got to get them. They are the leaders of the group, you know. You've got Jordan at the back and Brad also. So they've got their leading with example, and it's great. They can change games.
Well, just a final question, Nick. Obviously, you want there's always a good atmosphere at Ewan Fields, but you want that atmosphere loud and proud this weekend, I'm imagining, against Basford.
Yeah, of course. It was tremendous the other night. You know, the following the other night in a cup game on a Tuesday evening was excellent, and the fans really got behind the players, and that's all we need now. You know, we've got, I know it's a cliche, but we've got 9 cup finals, and the boys know they are, and the fans know they are, because it's so important to stay in this league.
New Hyde United manager Nick Spooner there joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. Well, James, that's all the results and look back at last week's news that we can muster. We will have a Step 4 show next week, of course, and we'll be covering off those leagues. And we should say as well, we will have a monthly show next week because February is not as long as the other months. I don't know if anyone knows that. So the monthly show will be back next week. But James, just before we go, we've got Mark Carruthers joining us in the second for fixture preview for this weekend's matches. Fingers crossed, these games will be on this weekend. How can people keep up to date with everything that's going on in the Northern Premier League, especially when it comes to statuses of matches this weekend?
Yeah, so on Twitter, it's Northern Premier League. And as soon as I see that as well, Tad Casper has just put some good news that the pitch is now 50% water free. They are looking for volunteers to help out. So if you're near there and listening, help them out this weekend. On Facebook, on Instagram, and on TikTok, it's official Northern Prem.
Well, a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us this week. And as we've discussed, it's going to be a bit of a shorter show, and that's not our fault. But here to fill the void and extend the show by at least 15 minutes, it's a welcome back to the show now to the wonderful Mr. Mark Carruthers with a fixture preview. Hello, Mark, how are you?
I'm good. 15 minutes is generous. You'll get five maximum, that's all you're getting.
Now, last week, we always said Andrew Snaithon from Coastal County Radio because it was his turn. And we gave it a go. We should say we're recording this bit of the show this week on Wednesday. And here's hoping we'll have more than 3 matches this week to look back on next week's show. But Mark, here we are. The matches we've had this week have shaped the league table, though, haven't they? I'm thinking of South Shields' result midweek, Buxton's result last Saturday, and even FC United against Scarborough has kind of influenced what we're going to talk about this week. So it wasn't a complete washout, but it was a brilliant advert for 3G pitches last Saturday, wasn't it?
I feel as if using a massive cliche and jumping in straight with a massive cliche that this feels like a pivotal week in the league, and it feels as if we're getting towards that the business end of the season for the first time, really. You know, every result seems to be having a big impact on what happens at both ends of the division. I know we'll obviously talk about it in a moment, but particularly Tuesday night with South Shields and that home win against Matlock, it felt like a big step forward for them as a club and for their aspirations in terms of promotion. Not that everything's cut and dried, far, far, far from it, but just a quick glance at the fixtures for this weekend, and I feel as if, talk about pivotal weekends, this could be another one.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the top three as things stand as we head into this weekend. All three have got pretty tricky games. South Shields hosting Nantwich Town. Nantwich Town currently in that third grey area. It's a grey area, isn't it? The third bottom spot at the moment due to the permutations with the other Step 3 divisions. But Nantwich Town 3 points clear of Witton Albion. Witton Albion do have 2 games in hand. Nantwich currently 3 points behind Hyde United and Ashton. Nantwich do have 2 games in hand over Hyde United. So tricky game this one for South Shields. Elsewhere, Buxton travelling to Atherton Coles. That's a very, very difficult game. And Matlock Town travelling to FC United. FC United themselves with something to play for. Let's start off with South Shields, Mark. Big result for them Tuesday night. Can they do it again this weekend and pick up another vital 3 points at home to Nantwich?
Well, without trying to look as if I'm questioning the mentality of the South Shields players, which I'm certainly not, I think this will give a good indication as to where they're at mentally in terms of this promotion push, because I think it's easy to raise your game for a game against a Matlock Town who, you know, have been there or thereabouts all season in terms of the title. But Nantwich are very much at their end of the scale. They're battling, they're scrapping to stay in the division. As you said there, there's quite a complicated picture at the bottom when it comes to games played, or even indeed the FA's decision making when it comes to promotion and relegation. But this is a very different challenge for South Shields, and I think it's one of them where they have to take command of this game from minute one. They have to really impose themselves on Nantwich, try and expose any little blips in confidence or lack of confidence in the Nantwich side. What I must say I'm delighted about is that since Kevin Phillips gone in there, he's put a bit of faith in Sam Hodgson, who is, you know, probably the youngest of the South Shield strikers, but he's been repaid with a brilliant run of form. I really, really can't rate Sam highly enough. I think he's going to be a great player for South Shields for years to come. He's a good goal scorer. He scores all kinds of goals. He is really just an out-and-out number nine. But it took a lot of guts for Kevin Phillips to really stick with him and put him in there. I think he's on 8 or 9 now this season. He's South Shields' top goal scorer, and he's really got that position to himself now. And I hope, you know, Kevin Phillips does stick with him. So, but yeah, this weekend, it feels a big game for South Shields and for Nantwich, for that matter. I shouldn't really ignore them, given where they are in the league. But I would expect a South Shields win, but a lot of it will be down to the attitude of the players. And I will just quickly add condolences to Kevin Phillips. He's lost a close friend recently, which is why he wasn't at the game against Matlock Town.
Sending our best to Kevin. Let's talk about the other big game up at the top end. Buxton travelling to Atherton Coles. You mentioned having guts earlier. This is going to take a lot of nerve, isn't it, really? It's going to be a battle, but Buxton have hit good form. 5 games unbeaten now, including 4 victories. Atherton Coles, not been great of late, yeah, but they haven't played that much, have they, in all fairness? No. So what's your thoughts? I can tell you it's still raining over this side of the Pennines. So,
and that's going to make it interesting, isn't it? But I think with Buxton, just looking at that run of form you mentioned, it looks as if some key players are getting into good form. You know, Jason Gilchrist, a player we both know well, is starting to score on a regular basis. I think he's got 3 in his last 5, possibly. I look at Mackenzie Heaney, who they brought in. I really rate Mackenzie, someone I saw at a very young age at Newcastle United. I think he got given a great chance at York, didn't quite happen, but he's got a good move to Buxton. He'll be key to their chances. And then obviously bringing in Sean Neaton, which is a bit of a shock as well to see that happening. So Buxton, you know, with that money from that FA Cup run, they've invested in the squad. For me, they are South Shields' main challengers, with all due respect to Matlock Town. But I do think Buxton will be the ones that will push South Shields all the way. I think Buxton may go there and just eke out a win.
Right. So that's the top two. What about Matlock Town? Matlock currently sitting 3rd in the league table. It'll be interesting to see what happens this weekend after that South Shields result midweek. But Matlock haven't been in great form. They're taking on FC United. FC United with a good draw at Scarborough Athletic on Saturday. What's your thoughts?
Just looking at, I think I'm right in saying that Matlock have won only one of the last 6, I think it is, which is, you know, suggests that there's a little bit of a wobble going on there, probably the worst possible time. So this feels like the sort of fixture that they wouldn't want an OFC without a win in the last 3. This one's a tough one to call because neither side are in great form. So I think it's one of those games where it is literally going to be about who turns up on the day and who plays the better on the day. So I quite fancy FC United just to sneak it, but it'll be a tight one.
Let's go to Scarborough Athletic. Scarborough Athletic travelling to Mickleover. Mentioned it before, Mickleover got a 3G pitch. So I don't see any reason why this match will be off unless there's a blizzard or something. Scarborough Athletic, 4 points from top spot. They have played a few games more than the teams above them. Not completely out of the title race yet, but the goal difference isn't favourable. They are 6 points inside the playoffs, which is a good place to be at this time of year. Mickleover, though, we had John McGrath on the show last week. They've been phenomenal, and no one wants to play Mickleover at the moment, do they? So, tricky game for Scarborough, to say the least.
Well, I think looking at Mickleover, if they can get a win on Saturday, that'll be 5 in a row, won't it? Which has kind of alleviated some of the pressure at the bottom end of the table for them. They're still not fully out of it, but, you know, I think they're probably the borderline team, aren't they, where you'd say anyone above them safe. One more win, I think, would do it. I know from speaking to people at South Shields about the performance down there when they played Mickleover, and I know Mickleover played for, what was it, 45 minutes with 10 men to keep a clean sheet against South Shields and to get the 3 points was a remarkable performance, and it shows you everything that John McGrath has instilled in his side. So this is a really difficult game. Scarborough, for me, in terms of they look nailed on for a playoff place. So naturally, I should apologise when they don't get one. but yeah, for me, you look at the points in the table and you think there could be an outsider for the title, but I think those games in hand that, you know, Matlock, Buxton, South Shields hold on them probably just rules them out of that. But what I would say is I wouldn't fancy facing Scarborough in the playoffs because I think they're capable of beating anyone on the day. I think they're a very good side that have been very well put together. This one, again, I think this might be a draw because I think Michalova's confidence is sky high at the moment and I can see them really pushing Scarborough all the way.
Now, you could argue that FC United against Matlock is up there for game of the day, but this one here really does intrigue me. Warrington Town against Morpeth. Warrington currently 4 points behind Scarborough, sitting in fifth, 2 points ahead of FC United, but Warrington have two games in hand on both Scarborough and FC. For Morpeth, Speaking of games in hand, let's turn to Morpeth. Morpeth have actually got two games in hand on Warrington, which is remarkable, but 8 points from the playoffs. I'm not going to say it's a must-win game, but we are nearly in March. If Morpeth are going to have this late surge, then 3 points against Warrington would be very, very handy, wouldn't it? And keeping those games in hand over them as well.
I think essential, if I'm honest. I think Morpeth are in sort of that sort of territory now where they need to win pretty much every game, if not the vast majority of them. However, and I wrote this, I write a column for Morpeth's programme, and I said the success for them this season, because of the start that they had, which was, let's be honest, a nightmare, to be even talking about a playoff push at this stage going into March is remarkable, and that's a success in itself. But knowing the characters in the dressing room at Morpeth and knowing the management team, they'll want to really go for it and really try and push for a playoff place. I look at the reaction after they got knocked out the FA Trophy at York after being 2-0 up. You know, you would look for a reaction against Hyde. Obviously came out of that with just a draw. So I think that kind of means that they do need to go to Warrington and win for kind of two reasons, really. One is for the points for themselves, but also to claw back points on Warrington. However, again, I think the characters in that Morpeth squad will go down there and give them a real game. I think Warrington will go in as favourites, but I think this one could be another tight one, so I'll go a draw on that one.
Let's talk about this. I mean, I mentioned how intriguing Warrington against Morpeth is. This one here, Whitby Town against Bamber Bridge. 3 points, both Bamber Bridge and Whitby Town are behind Warrington in the playoff positions. Bamber Bridge do have a game in hand, but if Warrington win and Scarborough win, if Bamber Bridge or Whitby Town either drop points or get beat, then that's nearly curtains, isn't it? That's almost insurmountable at that point, isn't it? I'm going to suggest. So it's really, really important for both sides.
Yeah, it becomes very, very difficult from that point onwards. And neither are in particularly great form, are they, let's be honest, going into it. I think Bamber, after that defeat against Stafford, it's no wins in five. Whitby, again, I mean, they've only had one defeat in the last six. Obviously, that coming against Scarborough, but I just feel Whitby are maybe slightly in better form going into it. That 2-2 draw with Matlock as well, and then had some good wins, draw against Warrington as well. So I think because they're marginally in better form, I would fancy Whitby to go and get something and probably sneak a win.
Let's turn to Stafford Rangers now. Stafford Rangers sitting in ninth, 7 points from the playoffs. We was heard from Matt Hill last week, and you know he's keeping a lid on things. They have got a game in hand on Warrington. They're hosting Stalybridge Celtic, and we already mentioned, you know, Stafford Rangers' form, unbeaten in 9 games, and you know, difficult to beat, picking up points and just keeping things ticking over. However, the home form of Stafford Rangers is not great. They are unbeaten in the last 3 games, but they've all been draws. And, you know, teams like Witton Albion and Hyde United and Stalybridge Celtic have better home form, according to football web pages. So if Stafford Rangers are going to have a charge on the playoffs, they need to improve the home form. Does it all start this weekend against Stalybridge?
Well, I think the thing is, we say that they're unbeaten in nine, but 6 of those games were draws. So when we talk about a playoff challenge, I think I would consider them as more major contenders if they picked up a couple more wins in that run. But when you drop points in key home games, as you've just mentioned there, that's just hampering yourself with every step. If it is going to happen, it has to happen now for them. That's what I would say. I would agree with what you said there. Stalybridge, again, not really too much to play for this season. They're not going to make a push for the playoffs. They're not going to get relegated. So it's really that they're in that sort of what can we do for next season stage, aren't they? And that planning process for next season. Yes, they'll want to finish as high up the table as they can, but I think there will be one eye on next season, which is why I think Stafford will win this one and get that win that they need at home.
Let's transition ourselves to the bottom end of the table now, and I'm calling it. This is game of the weekend. Grantham Town against Witton Albion. Grantham, unfortunately, their match with Nantwich was postponed last week. Is open for both Witton Albion and Grantham that this match is on, because Witton have got so many games in hand now with their postponements. It's a huge game, this one, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. I think you're right to say game of the weekend as well. It just feels it could be definitive for both sides. You know, I look at Grantham. That win against Ashton is really getting a lift. But the momentum of that may have been hampered by the postponements, as you say. I mean, they would have wanted to play on Saturday and really continue the good work that they got. The signing of Ricky Miller was a shock, but it seems to be producing the benefits.
It's an incredible signing, isn't it, really?
Unbelievable. I mean, you know, it's one of those where you see it come through and you think, really, like, how have they done that? And it was very much one of those when you think it's not so long ago he was one of the top strikers in the National League and just an all-round strong striker, isn't he? He knows where the goal is, and he's continued that with Grantham. He's given them a little bit of hope more than anything. Witton, at the moment, I think it's one in the last 10 they've won, just can't get going. So this one, it feels to me as if Grantham may well win this one. And let's be honest, they need to start clawing in the sides above them. I think they're 4 points behind Witton, a further three behind Nantwich. So to me, it feels like their need is greatest, which is why I think they may sneak one. But those games in hand you mentioned there for Witton are just huge, aren't they? They feel as if they have to win those just to claw in sides above them.
And with Nantwich travelling to South Shields, if Grantham win, then they'll claw 3 points on both Nantwich and Witton Albion, which, you know, it's almost back on, isn't it, really, the Great Escape at that point. Hyde United, incidentally, they're just above Nantwich at the moment, having played two games more and four games more than Witton Albion. Witton Albion 6 points behind Hyde United. Hyde United taking on Basford this weekend. Interesting, isn't it? Because it's the same as what we said last week. Basford aren't completely out of it. They're on the same number of points as Atherton Coles, and no one's really talking about Atherton Coles getting dragged in, are they? Probably because of the games played, Colin, yeah. I'd imagine. But a win for Basford, and you know that they're not looking over the shoulder anymore. And for Hyde United, a win is really, really important, isn't it? Because you can't rule out Witton and Nantwich winning this weekend. You know, that's not beyond all realms of possibility.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But I think Basford, looking at them first, I think, you know, even a point would do them, and I think they'll be safe. Obviously not mathematically, but I don't see teams below them getting up enough points to catch them. It's such an interesting fixture, this one, because it's one of those, I think we spoke about this last time I was on, how you just reassess constantly. And I think with Hyde, a win for them, and all of a sudden, and I mentioned Mickleover, the form they're in, but all of a sudden that would put them level with Mickleover if they don't get a win this weekend. And again, puts doubt in the mind. I think, if I'm honest, I think Basford will get a win here and sort of leave Hyde in that mix. But I think Basford are safe as they are.
And let's move on to another fixture involving a side down towards the bottom end. Ashton United, they're travelling not too far away to Stainton Park to take on Radcliffe this weekend. The gap between the two sides is just 5 points. Ashton United do have two games in hand, so it's exactly what I've just said, really. But I think for Ashton, even though they're on 33 points, a win for them because of the games in hand they've got would be really, really relieving, let's say.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, and I think it would be the sort of result that I think would give them a basis to go on and really kick on. You mentioned again, we keep talking about games in hand. It's quite unusual this season how many clubs do have so many games in hand, obviously with the circumstances. Ashton, to me, feel like a side that will go and get a result in this game. I think if they can, that'll give them a platform just to build on, and I think they'll be fine. But, you know, if they don't get that win at Radcliffe, then they are very much still in trouble. And again, the emphasis goes on those games in hand again.
And lastly, but not leastly, we've got Gainsborough Trinity against Lancaster City. Gainsborough Trinity, formidable at home. Lancaster, 10 points from the playoffs, not completely out of it yet, but you'd imagine if Warrington win and Lancaster don't, then it becomes really, really difficult at that point for Lancaster City. So, vitally important game, but it's at the North Home, etc., etc., etc. Everyone knows what I'm going to say next.
Go on then.
They don't get beat at home, do they, Gainsborough?
They don't. They really don't. That's the thing. I mean, they have drawn a lot of games at home, we should say as well. But I think, yeah, like you say, they just don't get beaten. I don't think they'll get beat this weekend either. Picked up some really notable wins. That win against Bamber Bridge, of course, was quite a high point. And obviously what happened there last time out. But yeah, I think this one, because of that home format, I really fancy Gainsborough to get a win here.
And finally, two matches on Tuesday night, both of which are games in hand for teams. Firstly, South Shields travelling to Ashton United. That is a difficult prospect for South Shields. And depending on what happens this weekend, could be really, really important. Nantwich Town, incidentally, the other game, hosting Witton Albion. Wow, huge. So those are big, aren't they, on Tuesday?
You see, the way I would look at that with Witten as well, so they've got Grantham and Nantwich in the next sort of 4 days, or depending on when you listen to this, over the next two match days, we'll say. They'll be saying that as a good chance to really sort of give themselves a boost and get out of that bottom two. But
it's pretty much, that's how Mickleover have gotten away, is because they beat the teams around them. You know, they beat Hyde, didn't they? They beat Witten, they beat Nantwich, and all of a sudden, they're comfy.
But the other side of it is, if they don't pick up wins in those games, then they're really on in trouble. So this feels like a really big weekend for Witten. You mentioned South Shields, obviously a tough trip over to Ashton. I think it's about the 230th time they've played them this season, it seems to be. I've played them quite a few times. Again, in a talk about when we spoke about South Shields earlier, the attitudes of players and, you know, the mindset going into games, they've got to be professional in these next two games because playing sides at the wrong end of the table that are scrapping to get away from there. So this one is, it's another big one for South Shields. But I will say again, because it's the game in hand and because of fixtures elsewhere at the top of the table on Saturday, they could really start to give themselves a chance to pull clear with a positive couple of days. But again, and I say the third time, the attitudes have got to be right.
Well, Mark Rovers, non-league journalist and football journalist. From the northeast of England, a big thank you for taking the time out your Wednesday to come on the show. Just a reminder, this show is predominantly pre-recorded. We recorded this bit of the show on Wednesday. As I look outside my window, it's raining, so don't go off what we're telling you about the statuses of these matches this weekend or on Tuesday night. Please do check social media and the npl.co.uk and football web pages before setting off to your match on Saturday and Tuesday. But Matt, where are you off to this weekend? Fingers crossed, all being well.
Well, I'm actually off to South Shields against Nantwich, so looking forward to that one. Should be a good game between two sides at opposite ends of the table. Always enjoy a trip to the First Cloud Arena, as it's called now, formerly the artist known as Mariners Park. But should be a good atmosphere, I'm sure, after Tuesday night. And looking forward to seeing a good game. Keep up with the latest on my Twitter feed, at @MarkCruthers_. And I've also got a Facebook page as well, which I've got to be honest, I don't know how you get on it, but just type Mark Cruthers and it's on there.
Excellent stuff. Well, Mark Cruthers, have a lovely weekend, and we'll catch up very soon, my friend.
No problem, mate. I'll hopefully see you soon.
And a big thank you to Mark Cruthers for joining us on this week's show. But that's it for this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. A big thank you to Nick Spooner and to Mark for joining me, as well as James Hayes earlier. Remember, for all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you all make sure you all have a lovely and safe weekend. Bye-bye.